Today I will be returning to my series on the parables of Jesus. And I initially thought when I started this that I'd try to keep the parables separate and preach on one at a time. Well, as I really start looking at some of them, they're really interconnected. Some of them are stated right after each other to convey the same message. And instead of preaching twice or whatnot, I probably will be clumping a few of them together. And today I'll be looking at two parables that are very connected with each other. The parable of the mustard seed and then the parable of the leaven. And before I get to the scripture, I want you to be thinking and looking and listening for what message is found in these parables. You see, parables are small stories with deeper meaning. Or another way of saying what a parable is, they're earthly stories with heavenly meaning. And that's what we want to understand today, is what is the deeper meaning? What is the heavenly meaning? And a few parables ago, the parable of the sower and the seed, and then 2 weeks ago we looked at the parable of the weeds and the wheat, we were able to clearly understand those parables because Jesus actually explained them and brought clarification to them. The ones we're covering today, however, Jesus does not explain them, yet the expectation for his disciples was that they would understand what they meant. And so before we read the scripture today, I just want to take a moment to say a prayer and pray that God would illuminate to us what he wants us to understand from these parables. So let's just take a moment. Lord, we thank you for being able to come to your word and to study them and to understand them. And I just pray that God, you would illuminate for us this morning what we are to take away and understand. We ask that your Holy Spirit would bring out what we are to understand. Lord, I pray this in your name. Amen. If you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, and we'll be starting with verse 31. Matthew 13, 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. We get that same statement that we've seen a number of times in previous parables. That statement, the kingdom of heaven is like. So we know that what we're reading has a similarity to the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says the kingdom is like a mustard seed. We read that it is the smallest of your seeds, which helps us to understand the people hearing this parable were very familiar with mustard seeds. They would have used them or they would have planted them. The mustard seed was, or is, very small. I wanted to put up a picture here to help you get an idea of how small it is. And if you have a penny in your pocket or purse, you can really see how small that we're talking. Now, not all the seeds are of the same size, and we see this picture of a penny with the smallest of the seeds being about the same size as the letters written on a penny. It is small. Now, this doesn't mean it is the smallest known seed in that place and time, but it is the smallest that the farmers would have grown. Yet, what does it produce? This small seed, it would produce one of the biggest plants, ranging from 6 feet to 10 feet high. And I've been told that in under certain conditions and the right environmental conditions, These plants could actually reach up to 15 feet high. This is a very big or very tall plant. Matthew here describes it as a tree. In verse 32, Mark, if we were to read this account in the book of Mark, Mark calls it a bush. But either way, it is one of the bigger crops that they would have grown in that place. At harvest time, the seeds would have been harvested and likely crushed or powdered, made into a paste for to eat, or also even for some medicinal purposes. And there's actually very little known of how this plant was fully used. Sounds like the leaves are edible, so they may have harvested the leaves and had mustard green salad, maybe. I'm not really sure. But it was edible, too. But the plant grew very tall. We're told that the birds of the air could come and perch on the branches, and this would have likely been an area with many plants growing together, making it a refuge of sorts. The birds could come and rest on its branches. They could find shade below the plants and even find safety from hawks or other predators flying above. A plot of land full of mustard would have definitely been a sight. But let's get back to how it is compared to the kingdom. How does this parable, how does this mustard seed compare to the kingdom of heaven? It could be that it started very small and grew into something very big. Maybe it has to do with the transformation that took place. Maybe it's the transformation from being very small to large, a transformation. Either way, we know that the entrance of the kingdom with Jesus wasn't earth-shattering. It was a humble and quiet entrance. You see, we just celebrated Christmas and we read and heard about the humble beginnings of Jesus coming to earth. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he came quietly and humbly. Born in a stable with animals around, we're even told he was wrapped with cloth and placed in a manger. Well, a manger's a feeding trough, if you're not sure what that is. Yet, he was a king. He was and is the Son of God, and he is a Savior. When Jesus arrived, the world didn't suddenly change. At least that we can see. We know that some shepherds nearby came and they saw Jesus, and some wise men from the east, far off, they came and they worshiped him, even though they weren't Jewish. But did the world take notice when Jesus was born? Not really. We're told of angels coming and singing praises. The heavens erupted with praise, but the world, for the most part, didn't notice. Shortly after Jesus was born, he was taken to the temple, and a devout servant by the name of Simeon was able to hold Jesus. And he praised the Lord and gave thanks because he was able to hold and see the salvation from God for all people. Right after that, a prophetess named Anna praised the Lord for the child who would be the rescue of Jerusalem. Now, don't get me wrong, the shepherds told as many people as they ran into. I'm sure Simeon and Anna told many, many people too. So the kingdom began to grow slowly right away. Even King Herod brought some attention to Jesus when he tried to kill Jesus out of jealousy after the wise men told him that they were going to worship him. But really, in the greater understanding of who Jesus is, he came without the world taking notice. There wasn't a huge explosion of change. But the kingdom gradually grew as Jesus did. See, after Jesus grew up, we see John the Baptist foretelling of Jesus, kind of letting people know that the kingdom is here, that Jesus is coming, that the kingdom is growing. John the Baptist in Matthew 3, 1 through 2. We can read this here. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." See, John speaks of the kingdom that is being brought in by Jesus. We also see that John saw repentance was crucial in being a part of that kingdom. Repentance has a part of growing the kingdom. Even Jesus shared with the people, the kingdom is near. Indeed, it was, and slowly growing. But so many people didn't understand what that kingdom was. So many thought it would look differently. So many thought that Jesus would just suddenly come and sit on the throne in Jerusalem and be a strong army and take over everything. That's what they thought. But the kingdom looked very differently. Some people didn't believe. Many mocked Jesus, and that continued right up to his death. He was given a crown of thorns, and the sign was put on the cross where he died, and the sign read what his crime was. His crime was being king of the Jews. Yet when we look at this parable, we're told that the kingdom is like a very small seed that is planted. And from that seed grows a very large plant. The kingdom of heaven is real. And it is beyond a lot of our understanding. But one thing, when Jesus brought in the kingdom, it didn't change the world right away. It was sowed by Jesus and has grown slowly with God growing it. Just like a mustard seed growing into a great plant, God transforms a tiny speck into something great. The same is with the gospel. Jesus ushered in the kingdom with his presence, with his words, and with his work. Though the kingdom is here, it's not fully here. We'll see his kingdom fully when Christ returns, and then it'll be fully established. But think about the transformation that has happened already. From a few followers at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the Bible study we're going through is called Follow, and just reminded of just a few apostles that Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And from that beginning, we see a tremendous transformation over time. So many have repented of their old ways and followed Jesus, even after he was crucified, but he rose again. They followed a growth that continued at points that could not even be counted. The New Testament shows the growth of the kingdom through the growth of people of faith. But I do struggle a little bit when I look at this parable. I can see the changes. I know that Jesus brought the kingdom, and it started small and it grew vastly. My struggle is, how does this parable apply to me? How does this apply to you? We can read a parable, we can understand that the kingdom of heaven is like this small seed that grows into a big plant. But how does this change our lives? How do we apply it in our daily living? I think there are a number of things, and we can say that I can say would apply to me. But I want to be true to Scripture. What does it say? It says the kingdom, though began small, it has grown significantly. And we may underestimate what God is doing in and around us. And like so many in the past, when they encountered kingdom greatness, they praised God. So kingdom greatness can be answers to prayer. How many of us have we seen answers to prayer? How many of us are waiting for those answers? Other kingdom greatness is people coming to faith. People that did not know Jesus are now following Him. That's greatness. A church that grows deeper in their faithfulness. And even a church that is growing in numbers. Those are all good things. These are the things that we can pause and praise God for. So an application may simply start with praising the Lord. It's interesting how Cal started with that this morning. Just pausing and praising the Lord. Now stay with me for a little more here. If the kingdom is growing, then we too must be growing. This is the part of an application for us personally. What are you doing to grow in your faith? As we heard from Rachel last week, and from others that have gone through YWAM, their discipleship training, they spoke of their experience and their time grew their faith. We may not all be able to go and to a discipleship training like that, but we are all called to be disciples. How are we intentionally growing as a disciple? And how are we discipling others? Well, what does that mean? It means, how are we becoming more like Jesus? And how are we helping others to become more like Jesus? Growth isn't just for someone or someone else, but that growth is for each and every one of us. Now, how do we grow? Let's look at Psalm 1. I could have come up with many, many scriptures, but this is the one that the Lord led me to. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. See, the stream of water is like a constant flow of God's presence and His Word, taking in what God has given us and staying away from the things that stunt growth or things that kill growth, like we see in verse 1. It's to walk in the counsel of the wicked, or to stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Those are the things that stunt growth. And we look forward to bearing fruit as we grow. And we could go into a whole nother sermon on the fruit of the Spirit too. But as we grow, we also bear fruit. There's another part of this parable. When we get to that part where birds come, the kingdom is like a place of refuge. You see, Jesus bridged the gap between us and God the Father. That gap started when Adam and Eve sinned, a gap happened between humanity and God. When Jesus came, He closed that gap. And in our times of trouble or in our times of need, we can find refuge in the Lord. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. This is absolutely true. With God's presence, not just sometimes present, but always present. and being surrounded by others. Like today, we can surround ourselves by others who can build us up, encourage us. The kingdom is like a place of refuge, a place for rest and strengthening. I think of the weeks and months that followed the terrorist attack on 9/11. What happened to our nation? Yes, there was an initial shock, but what I'm talking about was what happened the days and weeks after. Almost as if there was a wake-up call, and in the midst of hurt and pain and fear, where did people go to find comfort? We saw a change in the people towards church and faith and God. Churches were seeing a rise in people coming to worship. There was a rise in prayer, and we saw a rise in public confessions of faith in God. Why? Because there's a refuge found in the Lord. I wish that trend would have continued and remained, but that doesn't mean the kingdom is shrinking. This kingdom, the work of Christ, is always growing, always moving, because the kingdom of God is the work of God and not us. A time is coming when the kingdom will be fully here when Christ returns, and His kingdom will reign forever and ever. We have looked at this parable and we saw a growth of the kingdom. Now let's look at the next parable, at the spread of the kingdom. Turn with me to Matthew 13:33. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all through the dough. This is an interesting one. If you know Scripture fairly well, you'll notice that yeast is often used in the negative, referring to sin, on how yeast it can permeate with sin as sin permeates. But here, when we get to this parable, if you're used to thinking of sin in the negative, or yeast seen in the negative, you have to change, because it's not seen in the negative here. It's not a symbol of evil, but yeast is likened to the kingdom of heaven. The funny thing about yeast is it only takes a little bit of yeast to make an impact on a whole batch of dough. The New Living Translation puts it this way: the kingdom of heaven is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus said this some 2,000 years ago. And I think it's safe to say that we can see the bigger picture of this parable compared to those who heard it on the day that He said this. Because we can look back and see how the kingdom grew. A globalization. You see, the Jesus ministered in Israel, but it didn't stay there. It slowly grew and grew. And within a few years, it moved to continents. And we can see the impact of the kingdom in the entire world, even the places that are really closed to Christianity. We see home churches pretty much worshiping and hiding in many, many countries. It was the commission that Jesus gave that really saw the beginning of this spread of the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20, many of you know this verse well. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. See, in the New Testament, we saw that transfer, that change, the spread of the kingdom. We saw new churches coming into Ephesus and Galatia and Corinth and Philippi and Colossae. Those are just a few cities that were impacted by the spread of the gospel. Those are letters in your Bible in the New Testament. You see, the Apostle Paul and others traveled and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. That is Jesus' death and resurrection and our salvation through faith in Him. That's the good news. And that news spread not just through Jerusalem or Israel, like I said. It traveled to all sorts of different nations and then across continents. See, the kingdom came quietly and humbly through Christ. It began to grow and it began to spread. So what application can we take away from this parable? The obvious one is that we have a part in the spread through the sharing of that good news, the sharing of our faith and making disciples, something that Jesus commissioned all of us to do. The Great Commission is not just for leaders of the church. It's not just for older Christians. It's not just for ones who've read through the Bible all the way through. It's not just for men or just for women. That Great Commission is for everyone. Everyone. Christ is ultimately the one who directs and spreads the good news, but He uses us, His followers, to share our faith. Like a woman kneading bread, the yeast permeates the dough. Yes, there are times when Christ moves us around and He commissions missionaries. And we see like Wyatt and Rachel just this year being moved around a little bit. But our responsibility is where we are right now. Your responsibility is where you are right now. Sharing your faith and living your faith in your time and in your place. That's your responsibility. Just like my place and my time and my area. There's a responsibility I have to share my faith so that it permeates wherever we go. So long as we are willing, the Lord will use us to spread His kingdom right where we are. And the important word is willing. Are you willing? Another point that I want to share before I close, we may not always see where the kingdom is permeating itself. We have a part in sharing our faith, but there are times that the kingdom is at work and active, but not necessarily visible in our eyes, because really that spread begins in the heart. Sharing the good news of Christ may seem rejected, or it might seem like you've had a little part in seeing it grow around you. And I encourage you to continue praying for those who are without Christ and who are seemingly without Him. Because that spread starts in the heart. We don't always see it. And this is where we kind of end up with prayer. If you are willing to be used, we pray for God to use us. And when we are given opportunities, we continue to pray. The growth and the spread of the kingdom is happening whether we can visually see it. Christ is still at work and will be so until He returns and His kingdom is fully present. I want to close with one last verse. I'm not really going to explain it, but I just wanted to read it. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The kingdom work is around us and in us. We're a part of it. And it's interesting to know that Christ is always at work. He's going to complete what He started.
Are we willing? Are we willing to allow him to do that?